Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sisternino here, getting you ready to kick off our Big Brother Canada 3 finale coverage. But before we get into tonight's show, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors for the podcast, and those are our friends over at True Car, because when you're making a big purchase, like buying a new car, you want and expect a transparent buying process, a process that's going to give you the confidence to know you're getting a fair deal, like the ones you make with Godfrey. And to really understand the power of transparency, you need to check out True Car and True Car's mobile app, because with True Car, not only can you configure a car that you want and how you want it, but you can see what other people are paying for the same car you're looking for down to the zip code. So you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Pretty transparent. And once you decide on the car you want, you could lock in guaranteed savings, like you're going into the vault in the Big Brother house, on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you'll be connected with a trusted True Car certified dealer that will honor your savings without negotiation. So when you're ready for that new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay. Download the True Car app today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's very emphatic to talk about tonight's Big Brother Canada finale, Rob Sisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Big Brother Canada 3 live finale coverage. We have continuing coverage of our Canadian Big Brother champion, who has been crowned tonight. And congratulations, Sarah. You are the new champion of Canadian Big Brother, who beat out Godfrey in what I believe to be a 7-2 vote. And we will talk through it here live. Thanks to everybody who's joining us live right after the finale. We're going to have a very fun show tonight to talk through all of it. Sarah's win. What did Godfrey do wrong? Did Godfrey get robbed? Did Ashley get robbed? We'll have plenty to discuss tonight. And here with us to discuss everything that happened, two of our standout live feed reporters from this season. First, let's welcome in back to the show, Mr. Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Rob, it's been such a crazy season, and it's been such a great time talking live feeds with you and with everybody. And I just wish we could all just buy a house and keep the party going.
And have clips going. Oh, all right, before we get to tonight's recap, we're going to air 27 minutes of clips from the best of the recap this season. Here we go. All right, everybody, can you believe it? Big Brother Canada 3 has started. Wow, 16 people. Who's going to win this season? Wow, oh my God. Oh, Jordan put himself on the block. Whoa, wow, that was crazy. Wow, what a clip show. No, we're not going to go into clips, but Alex, good to have you back. Alex, you got so much high praise from the former Big Brother contestants after your last appearance on the show on Twitter.
Boy, yeah, that was something that I wasn't expecting, and I was blown away to get, and you know, I don't know that it's deserved, but I'm definitely gonna take it.
Yeah, like John Party did like a half Murphy for you on Twitter.
Yeah, that's really something. I don't know what to make of it. I'm just really, really humbled by it.
Yeah, it was like Britney with Sarah in the final too. Oh my God. All right, so, and then also back with us is our good friend Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. Taryn, are you excited to talk about the finale? Are you excited to get your life back?
No, I'm devastated. I want Big Brother US to start already.
Yes. Okay. All right. So here we are. We are ready to talk about the finale. And it's a night where Sarah is the big winner. And it was really a coronation for Sarah. It seemed like, you know, coming into the night, I felt like Godfrey has a good chance. Then people went on Twitter, and there was a lot of leaks on Twitter about that Sarah's win. And then, you know, I don't know if we saw it coming, but it didn't really feel like from the edit that Godfrey had much of a chance. Did you guys feel like in watching the show, first off, were you guys spoiled during the day today, Taryn?
No, I saw one tweet with spoilers on it, and I immediately muted like everybody who ever talks about Big Brother on my Twitter feed.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say who it was that spoiled it for me on Twitter, but I was not happy when I went on Twitter at like 4:30 this afternoon here. Alex, were you able to stay unspoiled today?
Oh no, Rob, I'm too way too nosy online. That was not gonna be an option for me. Pretty quickly, I saw a spoiler. Regretted it, and then proceeded to scour until I found more spoilers. Okay. So that's just par for the course for me.
All right, well, Let me know from you, Taryn. Did you feel like, as you were watching the show tonight, did you feel like the outcome was in doubt at all?
I did feel like Sarah was getting the winner edit. Like, it, you know, I mean, she's been getting that edit for a while now. But I didn't see Godfrey taking Sarah in the end. So until that happened, I thought Godfrey might have it. But as soon as he took Sarah, I was like, Sarah's got it.
Okay, she got it. Well, she did have it, and it seemed like the jury was really in love with her. And really, only Bruno and Bobby were the only people who saw any merit in Godfrey's game. And let's jump into that first. Taryn, when we were talking before we came on, you said you were mad at Godfrey tonight. Well, why are you mad at Godfrey?
Because he took Sarah. And, you know, it's hard to blame him too much because you never know what the jury's going to respect. But ultimately, you have to be able to read the people going out of the house, and you have to be able to predict who they're going to respect more. And Sarah just seemed like the obvious pick. You know, she looks smart. She's got glasses. She talks a lot. Like she said, people are going to think that she did a really good job, and it's going to be harder to talk his way around her in the end over Ashley.
Glasses is the key to a victory in the Big Brother final two. I'm trying to think of glasses. I feel like Ian Terry didn't wear his glasses in the final two of Big Brother 14. He had them. Is that the key? Alex, you have glasses. Would you win the final two?
Well, I think, I don't know. Maybe there is something to the idea that the people who wear glasses are thought to be players. After all, when they were doing their rankings, didn't they have Jordan and Sarah 1 and 2 as most likely to win the game?
Interesting. Yeah, we'd have
was
to go
it glasses?
Back.
Oh, and Willow 3. So there you go. Glasses all around.
All right. Team glasses, one out in the end. All right. So we're going to talk through all of this here tonight. Of course, we got the chat room open here on robiswebsite.com. We've also got our Twitter open, hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Of course, we are within 1 month until we get to Big Brother US. I'm going to try to do a lot of Big Brother content in between tonight and when we get to the premiere of Big Brother US. I think that's going to be on June 24th. So a couple of weeks. I think it's actually going to be 4 weeks from yesterday. I'm not sure how my math is doing, but something about that to get to the premiere of Big Brother US. One of the things we've been talking about for a while is doing the Big Brother Think Tank. We are going to be doing that show. And what we need to get is your submissions for ideas for twists, whether they're twisto twists or whatever kind of twists you want to come up with. You can send them in to us at robiswebsite.com/BBThinkTank. robiswebsite.com/BBThinkTank. And submit your, there's a form, and you could submit your ideas for different twists, and then we'll talk through all of them. We'll try to get somebody. We talked to Spencer, and he said he would come on the show, so we'll try to get Spencer, and maybe a panel of Mike Bloom has been, he's going to go through all this and present some of these to us. So we'll try to have a good show for you guys to talk Big Brother twists as we get ready for Big Brother 17 around the corner. All right. So let's go into Sarah. And I know a lot of the focus is probably going to be on Godfrey because I think we all liked him very much as a player, but I don't want to bury the lead of Sarah's victory. Sarah as a Big Brother winner. Alex, can you wrap your head around that? And did you feel like she was did a really good job this season?
Yeah, no, I thought Sarah was a really good player. I mean, obviously she had knocks against her game. I mean, there's plenty of people who want to point to those, but there's also plenty of people that are quick to point to some of her strengths, which I think when you look at Sarah's strengths, like her social awareness, her relatability with other people, just how she was able to be just generally unassuming and still get her point across. There are some real strengths to her game that I think are on par with anybody in those categories.
All right. Well, help make those. Just give us the why Sarah won.
Okay. Well, yeah. To me, I mean, Sarah was in a position at the end where she was able to easily articulate something that people were already leaning with, which was that she had a heavy hand in all of the moves that Brittany carried out, which were the moves that ended up evicting the majority of the players this season, ended up being the big turning points in the season. And so Sarah, in many ways, at least in the jury's eyes, I think, got the credit for those moves without getting as much of the blame for directly being the ones to carry them out.
Interesting. Taryn, how do you feel about Sarah as a winner?
She's not a bad winner. And I don't think she's a bad player. I think her biggest strengths are that she is very relatable and she's very intelligent and she's very likable. And you know, all those things kind of combined to create a very big jury threat. Strategically, I don't think she made many good moves. She made a lot of moves, and she won the competitions that she needed to win. So ultimately, you know, I don't think she was the best.
But did she win what she needed to win? Because ultimately, she was totally shut out here in that final three head of household.
I mean, yeah, she didn't win that one, but apparently she didn't need to because, you know, Godfrey unfortunately chose to take her.
I guess so. I mean, I think that the best thing about Sarah was that just how likable she was for the other players in the house. And we talk about this a lot in Survivor, and I think it's definitely the case in Big Brother, where the jury will always vote for the person that they like the best. And that Sarah was just much more likable. She was much better at establishing bonds with these people than Godfrey was. You know, we've talked about a lot of the things that we liked about Godfrey's game, about how he sort of was able to sort of just like, you know, go bounce from person to person and be able to make deals with people. But I don't get the sense that people loved Godfrey in the Big Brother house. And I feel like as a person, I think that she really wore her heart on her sleeve. And people, even if they didn't agree with her, they really loved Sarah just as a person. What do you think of that, Taryn?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. That was easily her biggest strength, was that, you know, even though she was screwing people over and she was making moves that may or may not have been beneficial to her game, people really liked her in the house. And they really respected her out of the house. And unfortunately, Godfrey couldn't aspire to that level of personal, you know, connection.
Yeah. Alex, what do you think of where the flaws in Godfrey's game were in terms of making connections with people? Could you speak to that a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. You know, this season has been so crazy. I've talked a lot online about how I feel like this season is very similar to Big Brother 11 in a lot of ways, where you've got three finalists, all from very different kind of sides of the situation. Three people that weren't necessarily seen as the big gamers for the bulk of the season itself, but they found a way to the end through varying circumstances. And, you know, you had Jordan Lloyd, who I think many people would have said at the beginning of that season was a very unlikely winner. I think one thing Godfrey did to stay in the game and avoid the twists was, I mean, a masterful job of laying low. It's a tightrope that you have to walk between laying low and still being seen as an entity at all. You know what I mean? It's really hard. Like, I've even seen people online calling him male Victoria. And if fans have been watching you and they're getting that perception, then it's, you know, the possibility is there that jury members could get that as well.
Yeah, coming into the jury phase tonight, it did seem like the jury was overwhelmingly in favor of Sarah before the questioning even started. But Taryn, did you feel like Godfrey did a bad job in the jury question answering phase?
Actually, I thought he did an incredible job, especially because it was very clear that the jurors had already made their minds up. They were throwing Sarah softballs left and right, and he barely even got a chance to speak.
But Sarah, my question for you tonight is, how difficult was it for you to be so awesome in the game over the period of the time that we were in the house? Can you just go talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, and we usually see the person on the other end of that like totally lose their cool because it's becoming clear to them that they're not going to win. So they freak out and they get aggressive. Godfrey really kept his cool and he really argued his case very articulately. It wasn't enough, though, because I don't think he had enough time to convince them, and I don't think they were willing to change their minds.
I don't think anything would have changed anybody's vote tonight, but I did feel like it was odd. And tell me if this is the way that it's been done previously, Alex, whether it's in the U.S. or in the Canadian version of the game. It seemed to me that we lost the opening statement, and we went right into the questions, and we had a closing statement. Is that typically how it's done?
It's been so long since I've watched now, but I remember opening statements, right, Taryn?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do. Survivor cut their opening statements too this year. So.
Yeah, I feel like Godfrey would have been helped by the opening statement, because I feel like if anybody had a game that was a bit of a reveal to say, hey, you guys who think I've done this season, I actually was doing this. Again, I don't think it would change anything, but it couldn't have hurt, because Godfrey's biggest strength was going to be his ability to do speeches, not necessarily to answer questions, but to do speeches. And I felt like his closing argument was pretty compelling. And I feel like if you would have at least given him the shot to open with setting the tone of here's what my game was about, I think that could have only helped, even though it probably wouldn't have changed anybody's opinion. I wanted to talk about the dynamics of the jury a little bit. It seemed to me like Godfrey didn't really get any favors by the fact that his only advocates in the jury house seemingly were Bruno and Bobby. Taryn, how big of a factor do you think that is of the politics of the jury house?
It's huge. I mean, especially when there's a larger jury, it's much more likely that they're going to come to some sort of consensus. And so if you don't have good advocates bringing people to their side on the jury, then people who are going to see that the majority of people want Sarah to win. And so they're going to be like, well, I'm not even going to bother to fight for Godfrey because everyone thinks Sarah played the better game. So I'm going to act like I agree.
Yeah. And how big of a factor do you think it was to have the diaper alliance in her pocket, Alex?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I think we had talked about before that was kind of going to be the alliance that carried this vote one way or another, because you had, you know, certain people who were locks. You know, you had Bruno on one side, Brittany on another side. You had this big kind of mass of the diaper alliance that could have gone one way or another and were ultimately going to be kingmakers in this situation. You know, I think, God, it's really interesting. I don't know if God would have won against Ashley either, but I really do agree that, you know, he started to kind of find his groove as the talk went on, as his opportunity to speak went on. I didn't like that he only got to answer 3 questions to Sarah's 7. I felt like, you know, that kind of robbed him of a little bit of an opportunity to kind of get his ball rolling and do what he needed to do. And one thing I think he really needed to do in that spot was a little bit of scorched earth and really not just sell himself, but really tell people why Sarah does not deserve to win this game. That was a play he needed to make, I think, that he just didn't make.
Yeah, for Godfrey, I feel like he really probably lost the game when Peely went out. I felt like that would have been his optimal final 2, because while compared to Sarah, for a lot of people in the jury, it looked like Godfrey didn't do anything. But if he could have been next to a person who he could have argued that he did more than and made that case of, like, you know, he busted his ass and he worked so hard in the game to do what he had to do, compared to Sarah, who also worked hard in the game, his arguments just didn't hold any water. And I think that maybe even against Brittany, he might have had a chance. But I think against those two, I feel like he was drawing dead. Is that fair to say, Taryn?
I don't know, because I agree with you. I think Peely was definitely his plan for a while. But crazy circumstances happened, and Peely happened to go where she was very unlikely to go. So that option was off the table. I do think he had a very good chance against Ashley. But unfortunately, we can't know for sure until we, you know, talk to the jury members.
All right. So if Ashley would have won that final 3 tonight, if she would have been the head of household at 3, Alex, would she have taken Godfrey to the end?
I have to think so. I mean, you know, it's certainly, I didn't see anything to indicate that she really believed she would have had a better shot over Sarah. That being said, I'm still wondering whether or not Ashley would have actually won. I mean, I think she would have, but I think there is a chance that Godfrey could have really, like, the speech would have been much more impactful against Ashley, I think.
I think that the votes that come into play there, it's like, I feel like she still has the diapers. And then again, don't count Jordan's vote, because that ends up going out. And so I think the people that are really the swing votes at that point are Cindy. And I feel like Godfrey really blew it on the Cindy question. Taryn, is that fair to say?
I think Cindy set him up to fail. I think she wanted Sarah to look better. So I don't think there was a good way for him to answer that question.
I feel like he had it in the first part, and where her question to him was, do you think that you would still be here if I didn't come back into the house? And he was like, you know, you did a really good job. And I forget exactly what he said, but he started giving her credit, but then turned it around and said, but I knew I needed 5 votes and I had to get it, and made it seem like he could have done it without her. And yeah. I know it was probably a catch-22 for him if he says, no, it was all because of you. That's why I ultimately got here. And everybody says, oh, he only got there because of Cindy with an S. He got saved with an S by Cindy.
I think the right answer was I wouldn't have been in danger had you not come back into the house, but I don't think he knew that. So
Yes. They were going to backdoor Bobby that week until Cindy came back, and they just felt like it wasn't the safe play anymore with an extra vote as a variable.
All right, so here's the question. What does Willow do if it's Ashley versus Godfrey? Taryn?
It's a toss-up. I think she goes with whoever Sarah says when Sarah comes into the jury.
Okay, and what does Sarah do? I guess it depends on who did Godfrey evict in this scenario. The best case scenario for Godfrey might have been for Ashley to win that HOH and then evict Sarah, and then he could have gotten Sarah's vote. And then would Sarah, Brittany, Willow, would they have voted for Godfrey over Ashley?
I think they would have voted. If I had to guess, I'd say they're more likely to have voted Godfrey than Ashley, but they are the kingmakers in that situation, I think. And so I think it depends on the way that Sarah got voted out and what Sarah ultimately ends up wanting to do. She may have played that, I'm not going to vote for you if you vote me out card, and then afterward been like, haha, I tricked you. I'm actually not going to be a bitter juror. Like,
yeah, I wonder, did Godfrey make a major miscalculation when he eliminated Ashley from the game, knowing that Jordan's vote wasn't going to count? I mean, there was this thinking in the house. I think it was Sarah who was the person who ended up saying it, that Jordan is just going to do what Zach wants anyway. Was it a mistake to knowing that the diapers were down a number and maybe Ashley might just have Pilar and Kevin and Zach? That's still only three. There's still six votes in play. And if Ashley was going to take him, would it have been a better decision to throw that competition, considering that was his game the whole time, Alex, that he decides to get off the horse he rode all the way to the finale night?
Yeah, you know, God, I wish I could say that that would be the play, but I just feel like, and I've really just felt it a lot online this season and even from past players. I mean, there are, you know, players, a strategist even saying if he doesn't win at least one HOH down the stretch, I can't, in all fairness, consider him a real player this season.
Yeah,
I really almost feel like we are in a new iteration of this game where people almost expect at least one comp win. So I felt like winning that last one was probably good.
It's a great point. I think that the modern day Big Brother juror maybe doesn't even vote for Dr. Will at the end of Big Brother 2. And again, Big Brother 2 is probably the worst example. And that's why it's so hard to compare Dr. Will with anybody else, because he was up against somebody in Nicole who people on the jury didn't, there, she had some friends on the jury, but for the most part, people on the jury really disliked her. And for Godfrey, there just wasn't that option of a person that the jury really had a bad taste in their mouth against. You know, if Dr. Will was up against somebody who would have been a palatable winner next to him, maybe people end up voting in a different direction and giving the game to somebody that they could stomach as the winner. Unfortunately for Godfrey, that person just wasn't available to him. Both Ashley and Sarah would have been people that the jurors could have lived with as the winner, Taryn.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, that's the risk of the game that Godfrey played. He wasn't trying to take a controlling stance in the game. He was trying to create a persona that nobody respected so that he could get to the end without too much hassle. And it was very successful. But the problem is that once you get to the end, you need to be able to turn the jurors around and you need to be able to make the right decisions on who you take to the end.
Yeah, I think that the new modern archetype for a Big Brother player is probably the Big Brother 10 Dan Gieseling. I think Dan got into a little trouble in the beginning of that game, but I think you go into the game and sort of stay under the radar for the first month and a half. But then around final seven, you got to start winning. And Godfrey, you know, he did win the final HOH, but it was probably too little too late in the eyes of the juror, Alex.
Yeah, I agree. And Dan did a couple other things, you know, like you said, he spent the first half of the game, much like Godfrey did, just assessing, not really actively trying to steer the ship at all. But then what Dan did was, in addition to, you know, waking up and winning a comp, he did his replacement nominee roulette. You know what I mean? Even though that didn't win him friends in that moment, it won him respect down the stretch because people recognized what he had accomplished by getting everyone in that moment to name each other. It's little subtle gestures like that can get you over the fence there.
Because it seemed like from the jury, the person that actually took the biggest shot at Godfrey, I felt like, was Brittany, who really made it seem like Godfrey was hardly playing the game. And we probably would have felt like Godfrey was playing harder than Brittany was for most of the season. Tara, what did you think of that when Brittany took that shot at Godfrey?
I mean, I hope that Brittany was just trying to lobby hard for Sarah and she doesn't actually feel that way, because that's just not right. Because Godfrey played way harder than she did, or Sarah did, to be honest. Like, better, not harder than Sarah. They both played pretty hard, but Godfrey was playing the best game in there, I think. So for Brittany, of all people, to say that he wasn't playing at all and that she was the only reason he was there is kind of distasteful.
Let's talk about Sarah from the positive perspective again. Alex, how did you feel that Sarah did in terms of her final jury performance?
I thought she did really well. Going into it, obviously, I think we all kind of had the sense that Godfrey had to do more work to secure victory at that point. Sarah didn't have a lot she had to do, but she hit the few points that she had to hit. Andy Heron tweeted about this, and he said she had to do was, suck kneecaps, basically, is what she has to do in that spot and make people feel good about themselves. I don't think she did anything but that. I think she did it very well. And I think, I don't know what else you can really ask. The burden was on Godfrey to change minds, and he wasn't able to do it.
No, I thought she really did a good job there, Taryn.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring up Andy Heron, because it really reminded me of Andy and Gina Marie's, final two questioning, where Andy just kept getting layups from the jury, and he just, all he needed to do was sink them, and he didn't need to do anything else, and that was all he needed, you know?
Yeah. Why is Kevin always look like he's about to crack up? Is Kevin actually high all the time, Taryn?
I think Kevin's a very enthusiastic and genuinely just happy person. And he gets that across very well.
Yeah. Is Kevin ever sad?
I don't think I saw him sad once in the house.
It's really not sad. He's really just all the time. He's like, okay, can I ask you a question? Because I'm very excited to talk to you guys right now, Sarah. And I just want to know when you had a triple eviction, like you were going to fight for me, right? What happened there?
It's got to be the poker, right? Because he's so used to dealing with those bad breaks.
That it? Or even when he got evicted in the triple eviction, he came out, I'm on Big Brother. What are you going to do? I just can't believe it. Those are the breaks.
I like how that's the complete opposite of your Arista impression.
Wow, Kevin. she was doing a lot of, I was watching, she did a lot of one hand microphone hold. She was like, wow, I can't believe this. Wow. Let's look at some more clips. We've got 16 people sitting right in front of us, but let's look at more video.
We did a little bit of that tonight.
Yeah, yeah, we did get a lot of that. I thought that Jordan was funny too in his question for the jury when he came out and talked about the lady pleaser went to Sarah. That was pretty good.
Hey, he stole Marsha's bit.
Yeah, that was Marsha made that joke on the sideshow.
He didn't see it. He didn't see it. Okay, so Big Brother Canada 3 is over. When we look back at Big Brother Canada 3, just to sort of, look at it from the big picture, Taryn, what are we going to think back of Big Brother Canada 3? Is this was the season that was what?
Too many twists. I think that's been the narrative of the season for the fans.
Yeah. I have to say, when we look back at the twists, really, Cindy coming back into the house, that changed things quite a bit. Godfrey was certainly a beneficiary of that. Sarah was a big beneficiary, though, of the when Brittany was the person who came back and got that secret veto. Brittany won her own veto that week and she was going to be fine. But certainly that was a major game change for her, where her closest ally did not end up going out of the house. That week.
I also think Sarah benefited way more than Godfrey when Cindy came back. Cindy came back into the house being told, only trust Sarah, give her all of this information, and only work for her. And that's why she followed instructions.
Interesting. So Neha ultimately ended up being a big factor in this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Does that make up for the fact that Neha didn't get to speak at the reunion show?
I know, right? Like, so many clips and we didn't even get to see anything from the pre-jurors.
Yeah, they really did a bad job with that. Not to go on too much about the format of the finale, but I mean, you had the first four people there, and we did like clip after clip after clip, and we were showing like with all the times people farted in the house, and it's like, I mean,
we cut Sarah's closing argument for time, and we had the showmance segment after that. I was just like,
The showmances. I mean, not for anything. We did 15 minutes of clips getting into the show. Like, it was like this season on Big Brother Canada. It was the most dramatic season of reality television of all time. There were people and things happened and then more things happened. And then there was a twist. Then it was the second week. And I was like, oh my God, it really was just like so much gravity. I mean, at the end of the day, nobody loves Big Brother more than we do, but please. Like, we are not talking about life or death here.
I like how your Big Brother announcer voice sounds eerily like your Rupert voice.
Yes. On Big Brother.
Why is Rupert not the voice of Big Brother Canada?
Yeah, we need to make that happen like yesterday.
Why am I not the voice of hashtag Big Brother?
We can get Rupert tweets on that.
Yes. How about Ian Terry? How about friend of the podcast, Ian Terry, up there in the Dan Gieseling / Dr. Will role?
Yeah, I thought he looked good up there. Although Dr. Will quickly tweeted and deleted about some post of jury with lack of charisma. And without naming names, I think it's pretty clear we all knew who he was talking about.
Dr. Will took a shot at Ian Terry?
Yeah, Dr. Will being Dr. Will, right?
Yeah. Don't you think that, I mean... In Big Brother Canada season 3, with all due respect to Ian, shouldn't they be bringing in their own Big Brother winners at this point? I mean, I understand the first season or even the second season, but I mean, could you not have John Party in that spot? Or they already, I mean, they wasted John Party on coming in the house dressed as a baby.
I guess. To me, this is like a bit of a microcosm of something that I really wanted to touch on tonight, which is this idea of Big Brother Canada being 50% Big Brother US, 50% Big Brother UK, which I think has always been to me a little bit of fundamentally flawed concept, because to me they're two different games. That's like saying I want to play a mix of Twister and Battleship. It's like it might not be a good game. You know what I mean? It might be all luck. So I think they're riding a fence and they need to lean one way or another. Like to me, like I prefer the strategy to the drama, and Big Brother UK is a popularity contest. So to me, I'm fine with twists. Just, you know, give them safety. Don't give them power to upset the entire dynamic of the house. You know what I mean? And, you know, subtle things like that. But, I mean, I think there is, like, yeah, there's subtleties that can come into play here that can give Big Brother Canada an identity of its own rather than this idea of, like, we're the mishmash of U.S. and U.K. because that's not enough for it to stand on its own for longevity, I don't feel.
Boy, Canada really loved Britney. I mean, I liked Britney just fine, but boy... Karen, Canada really loved, I mean, it was like they showed her on the screen and it was like she needed to take a curtain call.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to comment too much on that because I don't really share that. I mean, Brittany's fine, you know, but watching her play the game, like,
I mean, what did she do that? Was it just that when she made those moves is it that she's very pretty? What is it about Brittany? Why did Canada go goo goo gaga for Brittany?
I think it's because she wasn't afraid to make moves, and people really appreciate that sort of bravery, even if it's not smart strategically.
I mean, she wasn't like a character. Like, she wasn't like a Gary or like a Tala or somebody who was just like a really big personality in the house. I'm not saying she didn't have personality, but I mean, could you give me three words to describe her personality? I mean, she was just kind of nice. She seemed nice.
Yeah, nice.
She seemed nice. Like, I couldn't really...
Emotional, likable. Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing that jumps out to you as, like, you know, the kind of traits you would assign a Big Brother genius, you know?
Yeah. But like, if somebody
we won't see her on All-Stars? I doubt it. You know?
Yeah, if somebody told me, describe the most popular person on Big Brother Canada, I said, well, she was nice and she was pretty. And then she made a couple times that she got like she won a power and she wanted a big spot. That was just, I guess she was kind of clutch.
people felt for early on, I guess.
Yeah. I think people look for the kind of nice, underdog, rootable person, kind of like, Donnie was just kind of a nice guy, even though, he wasn't really too strategic. He was just so adorable. You want to root for him.
But Donnie, I guess, had more of a character that he was just this guy from nowhere and he didn't know what things were. And he was just like this guy that was just such a fish out of water. I mean, Brittany doesn't really have any of that, but people loved Brittany. And they don't even seem like they like Sarah nearly as much as Brittany.
Yeah, no, Donnie's a great example of a character. Well, I reckon I need to win the veto.
I'm so happy.
I mean, that's iconic. You know what I mean?
I'm happier than Kevin to be here right now. No, I don't think so, Donnie. I'm much happier than you are. I'm on TV right now.
It might be one of those things where she was the embodiment of the opposition against people like Zach and the people who are in power. And maybe, a couple seasons from now, people might not remember her as much because she's not as much in people's eyes. Who knows?
Yeah. I've got so many different ways that I want to go here. I know this is going to come off tonight. Big Brother Canada 3 All-Stars. Okay. And now that the book is written, who are we bringing back for Big Brother Canada All-Stars, Taryn?
Kevin's number one with a bullet, I think.
Kevin, number one with a bullet. Oh my God. I'm so happy. I can't believe it. This is fantastic news. I'm going to be on the All-Stars.
I think he was very, very popular. Depending on their, I don't know. Brittany could definitely be a candidate, I think.
Are we letting winners on Big Brother All-Stars?
That's the question.
Yeah. As a winner, I don't know if Sarah beats out someone like John Party
I think she might. I think she's so bad at comps that people target John Party.
No, I mean like getting onto the season.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think if you're going to bring back one winner.
Let's just say no winners to make it easy.
Yeah, I prefer that.
I think he brings, Sarah was a character. I think that, Brittany, I don't really understand the Brittany character, but Sarah, you could describe as a character. Sarah's a character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Grown up Lisa Simpson.
All right. So outside of Sarah, so I guess does Brittany have to come back just based on her sheer popularity?
I don't think they bring both of them back though. So
who Kevin and Brittany?
No, Sarah and Brittany. No, so if Sarah's off the table, I think Brittany has a chance.
Okay.
Work for Chilltown.
All right. And then is Godfrey demanding? Does Godfrey come back for Big Brother Canada All Stars?
I hope so. I would like to see it.
It could happen.
I think he's in the mix. Zach, is Zach back for All Stars?
Yeah, he should be in the mix.
In the mix?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd put him in there right away, but I would definitely say he should be a strong candidate.
I think he's in the mix. I think there are other people that fill out that role, though. I think it's a very competitive role, so he might have a hard time.
Okay.
You don't want nothing but alpha jocks in there.
Yeah.
You need that balance.
Real quick, just give me the rest of the cast for Big Brother Canada All Stars.
From the other seasons?
Yeah, give me Big Brother Canada 2. Who are we bringing back?
Netta, obviously.
Okay, Netta. Arlie.
Arlie, yeah.
I'd say you got to probably bring back Peter Brown.
I don't think he should do it. I think he's the first one out.
Probably shouldn't, but he probably would.
We're short on women All-Stars.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see.
Ika, can I get... They brought Ika. I think it was a good sign for Ika. They brought her in for the awards.
I'm going to catch flack for this, but I've always thought Eliza was underrated. Season 1.
Mm, yep. Liza. It's interesting. Tala, is Tala in the mix? You need a wacky person.
I guess, but isn't she just gonna get second? Don't we just confirm that if you cast the Tala or Feely, the gamers eye them like wolves?
They don't mind that though. They do it anyway.
I mean, you bring Emmett will be back. So yeah, Big Brother Canada All Stars. I think I'd be very pumped up for this. I think it'd be very good.
That would be great.
I think they still need a couple of seasons to round it out, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you think? Big Brother Canada 5 is All Stars?
5 or 6.
5 or 6. Okay. That'd be very good. I'd be very pumped up for that.
Yeah.
Okay. What else from tonight before we start to get into questions? I'm sure we're gonna have a million questions. Anything else?
I don't know. I had a thought, this might, and I don't know. I don't know what's on the jury's mind. This might be a situation where after the jury, you know, sees the show, they might have second thoughts about who they voted for, especially someone like Kevin, who was really trying to vote for the person he thought played the best game.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. Like, I wrote down this Kevin quote from when he was talking, you know, before, like during the episode, and he said, if you need to win a comp, you've done something wrong, which is something I've echoed on this podcast before.
Yep.
And, you know, it is a little surprising that he didn't vote for Godfrey, I guess. I mean, given that he understands that, because, yeah, to me, I mean, it's like Mike with Survivor this season. That's the loser's bracket. That's the double elimination. Like, once you've played your way out with the social game, now the comps are important. The comps aren't important until that point.
That's interesting. Yeah, are you surprised that Kevin didn't go with, try to lobby for Godfrey, or do you think that his alliance just was locked in and he didn't want to rock the boat, Taryn?
I don't think Kevin would just go with the majority. I think part of him liked Sarah, and I think part of him was convinced because all of the other people that he trusted and respected were saying, Sarah's playing a better game, trust me, especially someone like Zach who came in saying, if Godfrey wins, I'll eat my shorts. I think he was ultimately convinced, okay, you know, all these people are saying Sarah played a better game. She must've been playing a better game.
Yeah. Yeah. I just didn't think it helped Godfrey either that his two advocates in that jury house were Bruno and Bobby, the two guys that seemed like they had the least friends also.
Yep.
Yeah. And I don't think Bobby's the guy you want advocating for you when push comes to shove and you need an advocate. You know what I mean? He wouldn't be my first choice.
You need an advocate. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I got.
All right. Here's a tough question. Let's rank the Big Brother Canada winners. 1, 2, 3. Taryn, who you got?
Jillian, Sarah.
John, Jillian, Sarah.
Yeah.
Alex.
I can't do this. It's so hard. All right. If I'm ranking the games they played, I'm going John, Sarah, Jillian. People are going to hate me for that. If I am talking about like likelihood to succeed.
Wait, say that one more time. John, Jillian, Sarah?
I went John, Sarah, Jillian.
John, Sarah. Wow. You've said Jillian at 3.
And if we're talking likelihood.
People get pissed if you don't have Jillian that high.
That's why I win, Rob. But if we're talking likelihood to win again, I've got Sarah number 1.
Yeah. She won't be a target.
No. Why would she be?
Yeah.
Who would target her?
She's very likable.
It could be Sandra if they played again.
Yeah.
The problem with Sarah's game is that nobody wants to target her, but she's so dedicated to making a move that will make her a target that, you know, like nobody wanted to target Sarah, but she kept forcing their hand and making them target her. And then she won competitions and twists and, you know.
Yeah. They should let Sarah smoke weed in the house, because if she could, and then she could just like relax and not be like, trying to make moves that are going to piss people off, then she'd be okay.
Man, who knows what we would say? That just might be a new level of player if we saw Sarah with the ability to have that chill factor.
She would be unbeatable. Best Big Brother player of all time. Maybe that's how she like was in the auditions. Like she was probably like really high in all the auditions, and then that's why she was so. They were like, "We need her. We need her on the show. She's incredible. She's the best player we've ever seen." All right, I'm not sure exactly what the schedule is going to be for exit interviews tomorrow. I'm hoping that I will have conversations with people from the finale, but still waiting to hear official word from that. I've never gone through this with the finale for Big Brother Canada yet. All right, let's get into some questions here. Quickly, I want to just remind people or let people know that Big Brother US is around the corner. We are going to be doing our Big Brother live feed bingo again for the fourth or fifth year that we're doing. It's very fun. We're going to be sending out our live feed bingo cards. In the past, I've only let it be for people who are buying the Big Brother live feeds through Rob Has a Website, but because of the way that a lot of people already have the CBS app. Also, some people, they want to support other sites that are just doing Big Brother year round and stuff like that. So I don't want to limit where people are going to buy their live feeds from. If you want to buy them from me, go to robiswebsite.com/live feeds. But if you want to buy them wherever and play Big Brother live feed bingo, go to robiswebsite.com/bingo. $500 prize for the first person to get bingo this summer. And the way we're doing it is we're just doing it on words, no gray area this summer. So if you have somebody, if you have Technotronics on your ballot and somebody says that, boom, that's a square. That's a square. And we will go through it. And the first person to get bingo is going to win $500 this summer. All right, let's get into the questions and kick it off. Again, that's at robswebsite.com/bingo. All right, let's go ahead and fire this up. John Clark. Hey, Rob. What were the twists that worked this season? Also, what didn't work? By the way, thank you for covering the season. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for watching. All right. What was the twist that worked this season, Alex?
I mean, to me, I don't have a problem with twists. If that's what they say their game is, then fine. Have all the twists you want. I just think the overpowered twists are the problem. The twists that don't just provide safety or don't just allow you to, take the person who's on number one and put them on the bottom, but literally take the entire stack and turn it upside down, like Britney's coup d'etat. Those are the twists that bother me. The twists that allow you both safety and like the ability to usurp additional power. I think that's where I draw the line. So like, I would love to see a game where like have a twist every week. I don't even care, but like let people, let there be secret rooms in the house. Let there be a false floor somewhere. Wow. Let there be things to be found that are like just safety for 2 weeks that can be used one of those weeks. Something that will allow you to protect yourself without derailing the other strategist's opportunity to go out, socialize, and protect themselves. I think that's perfect.
Taryn, what's your take on the twists that work this summer or this winter, or this spring, whatever it is?
I definitely agree with Alex. Twists with the game-changing stuff, just this, they don't work for me. Twists in general don't tend to work for me. Ones that are social, more social, those are better. But ultimately, I'd love a game that's just no twists at all. But if you're going to ask me the twist that worked the best, I think most people would say the voting the juror out, even though I didn't like it. I think it caused some drama and people liked that.
It made for good drama. I will say, though, that at the point where they aired like a lot of what we had seen already again, at the point where it was like very clear that Sarah had won the game and that this one vote was not going to matter for anything. Like, it really was only slightly better than the clip packages. Like, I would have loved to have seen 10 more minutes of that on the Monday night show. At the point where everybody already cast their vote and it was clear Sarah was the winner, that did not do anything for me here on finale night, Taryn.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah. I think the whole way they formatted the finale, they really need to rethink it. Because, once Godfrey chooses the person he's going to the final two with, you just want to see all of that play out. And anything in the middle, you're like, I don't care. Just get to the end already.
Yeah, they took a lot of the steam out of the finale where it was like, okay, exciting, exciting, exciting. And then, all right, now we're going to go in like a holding pattern. Let's just like sit on the runway now here for 25 minutes and, milk it down to like, I would rather see like, I never understand why they don't do this on Big Brother. Like, let's get to the winner at like 9:45. And then let's talk. And then, hey, Sarah, you're the winner. How does it feel to win? Let's do a little bit of, after the fact, talk about this. Godfrey, what did you think your mistake was? Did you think you should have brought Ashley to the final two? Do you think you would have won? Would you guys have voted? Like, we could do 10 minutes of reunion with the Big Brother cast.
Oh, yeah. That's what we want to see. We want to hear from the players. We don't want to see things we've already seen throughout the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. People go online to try to find that stuff afterwards anyway. So yeah, I think, if I'm given a choice between seeing what I'm about to go on YouTube tomorrow and check out versus what I've already seen in the house six times.
Yeah. And I can go on YouTube and go watch the, all the Big Brother Canada people fart. That would do well on YouTube. That'd be a hit on YouTube. I don't know if I need to see that as part of the finale. Also, I feel like as far as the twists go, I feel like that Big Brother Canada got too invested in like, oh, wait, when we find, watch what happens when we're going to, it's always like, all right, well, let's go tell the house guests about the new twist that's going to happen. It's like, and it's always like after the fact, it's like, you can have a twist and tell people like, hey, next week, here's what's going to happen in the game. Here's what, just keep it like an even playing field for people.
Yeah, it felt like they were going for the, the shocked face, like,
yeah,
whoa, it's so shocking.
Alec Christie face.
But it feels unearned when they do it every week.
Yeah, and I think there's a danger in catering to the common denominator with any TV show. You know what I mean? I mean, I know, Rob, you've talked about this with shows that have, faced cancellation, I'm sure, that, sometimes when writers are, or, in this case, production is targeting, placating the base, then sometimes they lose sight of what the original goal was to begin with, which was putting on a good product.
Yeah. Okay, let's do some more questions here tonight on finale night. Anthony S. says, hello, Rob and Life Feed correspondents. Is BB Can 3 better than season 1 and season 2? If not, how would you guys rank them? And I'm pumped up for BB 17. All right, if you're going to rank the seasons, all right, Alex, I'll start with you this time. Rank the seasons, Big Brother Canada.
I know a ton of people love 2. Personally, I liked 1 the most because it was... I think, you know, it's like you talk about with Survivor Borneo. There's just, there's a bit of an element to that where this is unique. This is new. This is there. This is exciting. Canada is pumped for this. We have our own game finally. You know what I mean? There's just, there's a buzz about that game and about the people.
A league of our own.
Yeah. I mean, really, that just, it can't be duplicated because that was the first. You know what I mean? So to me, that's going to be number one. To me, it's sequential. It's 1, then 2, then 3. And I think it's not a coincidence that that's also... in reverse order, the amount of powerful twists that were introduced in the game. You know
okay,
what I mean?
1, 2, 3 from Alex. Taryn, do you co-sign 1, 2, 3?
I'd say 2, 1, 3.
Yeah.
I think 1 would be first without Gary coming back in final like 4. So
I'm 2, 1, 3 also.
Yeah.
I really loved Big Brother Canada too.
It was very good.
It was very fun. Very fun. Okay. Let's take another question from, this is Mr. XC123, who says, Rob, do you like the third place eviction on finale night? I think it creates so much drama and makes it exciting. However, as seen from a previous season, the third place evictee usually votes differently than the rest of the jury. Tonight, that was not the case. The third place person did vote with the jury. Any issues with the Big Brother format of the third place person just joining the jury?
I don't have a problem with the third person eviction thing, but I do wish they would go back to the format they had, I think, ending at season 10, where they pre-taped the jury questions, and that third person, you know, went out long before the final the live show, and they had plenty of time to talk to the jury and, you know, answer questions, and then that would be edited down into a nice, you know, little actually interesting format instead of the kind of like layup questions that we tend to get now. I think that was a much better format. It was better for the players and it was better to watch.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. It used to be the third place that would come in like Brittany did, where Ian Terry was sitting there with the jury and they were deliberating. That would be third place coming in at that point.
Yeah.
And that made a shift around 10. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Jericho says, so the jury seemed to think that Sarah was the mastermind this season. Is she getting way too much jury credit? She was a good player, but she got a lot of help from Canada. Was Sarah seen as more of a mastermind than she actually was, Taryn?
I do think she was. Like I said, I think if some of the members of the jury saw the season, they would change their mind about who they thought was the better player. But the credit goes to Sarah for creating the impression in the jury that she was the mastermind. So, you know, it goes both ways.
Yeah. Alex, you feel the same way?
Yeah. I mean, more or less. I guess... I'm sorry, repeat the question.
Well, how about from the perspective of somebody who watched the live feeds as opposed to, and I only have the luxury of seeing what I saw on the show.
Oh, right.
Sarah, in terms of the live feeds, were you impressed with Sarah as a strategist in terms of watching what she was doing on a day-to-day basis on the feeds?
I was actually impressed with Sarah. I thought Sarah, you know, I think this is such an interesting season because you can literally go online right now and find an argument for why Ashley, Godfrey and Sarah all didn't play the game at all or well or don't deserve to win. And, you know, I mean, that's why this really does just to me. This is Big Brother 11. This is Jordan, Kevin and Natalie sitting there. And everyone's like, wait, I thought it was supposed to be Jeff and Russell and Jesse. You know what I mean? Like, what happened to the people that were making all the moves this season?
Mm-hmm. OK, good question. From Michelle Smith, who says the final question to Godfrey and Sarah were mostly for Sarah. Is this unfair? Should they have had an equal opportunity to speak to the jury? Now, in Big Brother US, I think they predetermine who's going to get how many questions. It was lopsided tonight. Alex, did you have any issue with the number of questions that Sarah got compared to the number that Godfrey got?
Yeah, I think I touched on this earlier during one of my rambles. It was seven questions for Sarah and 3 for Godfrey. And I remember some seasons where, like, you know, somebody that you knew wasn't going to vote for somebody asked that person the question because they were going to make it an even number of questions per person. I think that is something they should strive to do. I think if you want to be able to truly, you know, people are nitpicking the winner. If you want to, you know, prevent winner nitpicking, which is probably the best thing for all involved, then you maximize the opportunity for them to, you know, prove that they're deserving. And I think that's the way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even in a jury of 10 people, Godfrey got what, 3 questions?
Yeah, just 3.
Only 3. Poor Godfrey. Okay. Godfrey, I thought, very gracious, though, after it was all over. He said that they picked the right person. Yeah.
I was like, he's still playing the game, man.
Yeah. Now, do you think that second place on Big Brother Canada, I believe, is $25,000 as opposed to a $100,000 prize, whereas in Big Brother US, it's a $50,000 first prize and a $500,000 grand prize. Is the disparity between first and second not big enough in your mind, Taryn?
I think it's
1/4 versus 1/10.
I mean, when you're at only
plus Godfrey already won $5,000, so Godfrey walks away with $30,000, and as opposed to, he basically walks away 30% of what Sarah got.
I mean, I think ultimately the prize money for the winner is so low anyway that the money isn't really an incentive for the viewers. I mean, at least not for me. I think it's way more about the title at that point.
Yeah. So Godfrey, I thought, also was good in the final 3, where they talked to him about, like, you know, what are you hoping for tonight? And he's like, you know, he's like, I'm just happy I got my $5,000. And that, you know, I thought that was good that, you know, he was basically like resigning to them. I don't know if it was strategy or not, but I thought it was a good spot for him. All right. GT Deanna says, Godfrey argued that he had great social game, but had no alliances. Isn't it something of a social failure to be left out of the alliances? Alex, was that a strength or a weakness? Godfrey was not in the alliances.
Debatable, right? This is one of those things we could sit down. I could write a thesis on this. You know what I mean? This is one of those situations where people who got in alliances found themselves victims of twists. You know what I mean? So on the one hand, certainly Godfrey benefited by not being in the Chop Shop, say. On the other hand, you know, an alliance is an opportunity for big groups to gather and voice opinion on the game kind of in an open forum, and Godfrey not being in a big group led to a circumstance where Willow had no idea the game he was playing. Ashley, Peely, some of these players that just he never really talked game with until down the stretch where it was probably too late. So it's a mixed bag. This game is such a difficult line to try to navigate. And yeah, no, it's really interesting. You know, you could debate about it all day, I think. And I would love to.
Yes. Taryn, did you feel like Peely had a little bit of a chip on her shoulder tonight?
Yeah, I was confused, like, especially Ready, Let's Go, when she voted. Like, I was thinking, like, that's weird, because I didn't think she was going to vote for Godfrey, but that seems like what she would say if she was voting for Godfrey, right?
I don't know. So
it was kind of weird, like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, Alex, did you think that Peely looked like she was like kind of pissed off tonight?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not used to seeing Peely with such so much mascara on. So I'm thinking maybe it was just the dark circles.
Yeah, she was made up. She was like the Sansa Stark Peely.
Yeah, although she didn't have Sansa's POV necklace.
Yeah, she didn't have the POV.
It's been a highlight for me this season.
I don't know. Okay, is that Peely's catchphrase now? Ready, let's go.
It was Godfrey's. He said it a bunch of times when he got put on the block.
Can't remember who said it first. Did he start it because Peely's a cheerleader, or did Peely's, was he making fun of Peely being a cheerleader? You know what I mean?
I think he was making, I think it came up when he wanted to do the cheerleader, you know, teaching thing.
Okay.
In order to get into the vault for the task.
What came first, the gymnast or the egg?
I don't know. Okay. Mikey Dowd, a great live feed reporter, wants to know, even though Jordan seemed to be a good sport about the whole thing, do you think it was a bit harsh to make him go sit with the pre-jury people after his vote was nullified? Yeah, the people, he had to go sit with the silent people.
That was harsh. It's like getting bumped to the kids' table at Thanksgiving, right? And it's yeah, you don't belong here. Maybe come back in a year or two when you're older, kid. Yeah,
you're out.
Unfortunate. But yeah, he took it really well. You know, for a 21-year-old, you forget that Jordan's 21 because he's got such a astute vocabulary, but he really has taken a lot of things in stride this season. You got to give it to him. And I think he's going to end up being more memorable for these things that happened to him as a result. So from Jordan's perspective, if he's a true fan the way, you know, we all know him to be, I think he can't.
Yeah. He did, in the Dan Foley scale of things, of have fun, be memorable and win the game, and 2 out of 3 is not bad. He made a unforgettably bad move had a couple of bad breaks on top of that, and then another one tonight. But I felt like that, you know, he was an easy choice as the person that you take their vote away, and I think he knew it.
I think making him go sit with the pre-jury people especially was just like a dagger in the heart. And he took it really well, but when they were asking the jury questions and they cut to a reaction shot for the pre-jurors, Jordan was sitting there like so bummed out, it looked, at least it looked like he wasn't able to answer those questions as part of the jury anymore. And it was so sad.
Yeah, you have to go sit with it was almost like a Shades of Survivor Caramel and go sit in the audience with these people. They don't even get to go on the stage and ask a question.
You're being erased from the show, Jordan. Just
goodbye. You're gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do some more questions. Jericho says, this Big Brother cast seems to be the closest I've seen in a while. There was no big polarizing character this summer, and I can see all these people staying in touch. Will you think that we will have the We Are Family 3 hashtag?
No, they're moving in together, right?
They're moving in together?
This isn't fan fiction, right?
Not Uncle Bruno, not Bobby.
Yeah, there are pockets of people who I think are going to stick together, but I don't think the cast as a whole.
But this also, sorry.
They got nothing on the Dirty 30 is what I was just going to say.
Yeah. This was also a season where it's like, I thought, you know, the few, like they were, you know, we had like a best fight award, but I thought we were really kind of, you know, combing through the fine print there to find things we could classify as fights.
Yeah, I think the Sarah and Bruno thing was real. That was a real fight, but we didn't have too many other big blowouts this season.
Yeah. That was another one of my problems with the recap stuff is that they kept showing the same moments we've seen over and over because there were very few like very heightened dramatic moments that came naturally, and so it didn't feel earned to be like, look at all the dramatic fights we've had and all the, you know, because it's like you're showing the same two clips.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Let's do this is from Justin P. Says, Godfrey said he evicted Ashley because he didn't want a showmance to win. Wasn't Sarah in a showmance with Willow? I think that's a little bit of a stretch, right? Sarah's showmance with Willow.
I'd call it a showmance. I wouldn't call it a romance. And I'd say Zach and Ashley have a romance.
I mean, wasn't that the... Yeah, wasn't that the equivalent of like, let's make out, like, as opposed to like, I don't know.
Yeah, you're splitting hairs at this point. I think it's a label at the end of the day.
I think it's more of a hookup than a showmance.
I'll give that to you.
I think it's Willow was looking for someone, you know, to feel safe with, and Sarah gave her that.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
I mean, I think that's one step over, you know, Johnny and Kevy Wevy in the hot tub.
Yeah, that's probably
true. Yeah, and I'm not going to call that a showmance. Okay, this is from the Basketball Boss. Rob, it became apparent very quickly when trying to watch the episode that many people across forums and chat rooms were spoiling the outcome of tonight's episode before the broadcast even began. And it does turn out that the spoilers were correct. Let's touch on this. I feel like everybody like lost their mind. Why was it okay to tweet about the spoilers of the winner today, Taryn?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I immediately anticipated. I had to completely disconnect myself from everything Big Brother related, which was unfortunate because I would have liked to be able to, you know, read and talk to people about this stuff. But I had to kind of tweet to nobody, in my view, because I couldn't look at anybody because I knew that there would be spoilers all over the place. I don't get why people have to do that.
Yeah, and then I just felt like it was like then it was open season once it was out there and people like commenting on what was going to happen before, like it was a lot of stuff that was showing up, and I had stuff also from doing the show that I was getting at replies from people like commenting on the winner before the episode tonight.
Yeah, the snowball really started to roll downhill fast on that one.
Yeah, and forget even like East Coast, West Coast. Forget if you were a West Coast person waiting for the finale to start tonight. Boy, I mean, this was like before the show even started. So it was a weird night that I hadn't had that happen to me before on Big Brother.
Yeah, I was even watching Dan Giesling's Twitch stream, and in the chat there were people trying to spoil it in there.
Wow. Talking
about Big Brother there. It's all about gaming.
Wow. I'd like to think maybe this means the next time they'll try to push the taping back an hour or two if possible, but you know, who knows if that's even, you know, realistic.
Yeah, I don't know why they couldn't do it live. I don't really get the disconnect,
right?
There.
Yeah, I mean, if Survivor's able to do it live or certainly very close, then maybe there's like a few second delay, but yeah, I mean, you know, why can't Big Brother Canada do something similar.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. This is from the Basketball Boss. It says, Rob, out of the 16 house guests, it is arguable that 8 of them were evicted due to a special eviction or a twist else twist. Without these twists in the game, could Sarah still have won? Alex, you've spoken about this in the past.
Could Sarah have won without a twist? Feasibly? I mean, you know, once you start going down the rabbit hole of, like, alternate reality of how this game played out, there's a lot of ways it could have happened. But, you know, I think if realistically, if you're really trying to project, Brittany goes home without the coup d'etat, Sarah's in trouble, and, you know, even if, Brittany won that next HOH, so Brittany can't win that next HOH, so, you know, it's Sarah versus the world, and Ashley won that next veto, it certainly looks bad. It looks really bad. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to sit here and denounce Sarah and say she had no shot with that, because that's just not, you know, a winner deserves to win the game, bottom line. You know, I believe that, Rob, you've said that before, I think that's absolutely fair, but, you know, are there knocks to be made? Sure, there's always knocks.
I think what I'd say is that the way she played the game, she was an underdog, and it wasn't likely that she was going to win the game in the first place. And without the twists, it would have been a lot less likely. But you never know. She still could have won because, you know, she is very likable, and she still could have gotten there. You know, you never know with Big Brother.
Have we been unfair to Sarah tonight? That I've got one guy who's killing me on Twitter saying that this entire show has been complete bogus because we have been very unfair to Sarah tonight. Have we not given Sarah enough of her due?
He's maybe got a point. I don't know. I think, you know, all three of, you know, people have to understand all three of us, you know, if they've been watching this season, they know all three of us were coming into tonight. You know, talking about a Dr. Will comparison with Godfrey, and really curious to see if this could play out. And I think, you know, that created a bit of an expectation, and I don't want to discount Sarah, because I feel like hyping Godfrey is not the same as underselling Sarah. And to me, Godfrey was just entertaining. I really liked to see him play, but Sarah did so many things right that, you know,
well, especially in this finale, in this 2 hours that we watched tonight. You know, she really did the better job. And again, it was, were people's minds made up? Absolutely. But she really did a better job, I felt like, in making connections with people. You know, I think that if you were to look at it more from an objective point of view, like, I feel like there was a lot of things about Godfrey's game which were really cool and interesting, but I feel like that they just did not connect with the other people in the house, and the rules of the game are that the jury is going to decide it, not necessarily. And even if it was people at home, I think that Sarah probably ends up beating Godfrey. Is that, what would you think of that? If Canada voted, Taryn, would Sarah have beaten Godfrey?
I do think so, because, I mean, she's more likable. And I don't mean to knock Sarah's game. You know, she won the game, so I'm being kind of more critical of her. But I'm very critical of Godfrey in this final episode, choosing Sarah over Ashley. You know, I'm critical of all three of the final three, to be honest. I think Godfrey played the best game of the three, but Sarah's not too far behind, you know, so I don't mean to be too critical of anybody.
Yeah.
Brian Lynch, though, is reminding me in the chat room that we have forgot to point out something that even the jury forgot to mention, which is crazy. And that's the misstep of Sarah voting out Willow, which to me is a huge misstep that does count as a big minus on her game in terms of, like, if you want to say, like, the best winner makes no mistakes, there's a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a fair knock.
I think that this was a season where you had three people left at the end of the game who all had flaws, who all had strengths, and it was just going to be a matter of, like, you know, it wasn't like a clear cut thing where last season you had John and Netta get to the end with Sabrina, who was definitely, you know, a quantum leap between John and Netta, between them. And then ultimately, you know, this were three people that you could have argued, if you, whoever your favorite was, you could make the case why they should have been the winner, why the other two should have lost.
Yeah. I think it's kind of similar, where last season, you know, we all thought Netta should have won, was going to be able to be the winner. But ultimately, when John doesn't take her, her entire game rides on the fact that John takes her in the end. So, you know, we kind of have to go back and reevaluate everything. And it's sort of the same thing with Godfrey, where he played a very good game, but the fact that he makes this mistake and takes Sarah means we kind of have to reevaluate, you know, did he play a good enough game if he makes the wrong decision here at the end when it most matters?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's do some more questions here. This is from Deanna, who says, Deanna from Cali, Rob, did you think that Bruno's excuse for not using that first secret powder was valid? Was it too early? What made him think that saving Zach was something the viewers wanted? Yeah, was Bruno campaigning for All-Stars tonight, Alex?
Potentially. I mean, you know, Bruno's a gamer. We know Bruno's a gamer. Bruno's ranked in a video game. Bruno is... He was a gamer before he set foot in a Big Brother house. I mean, which is, you know, rare. So, yeah, no, we, I mean, I think Bruno is the kind of player who really wants to get back in. I think, you know, he took it in stride pretty well, but I think inside he was probably really upset with the way he went out. I can't imagine he was happy with that being his swan song. And yeah, I think Bruno would eat dog to get back in that house, and I don't blame him.
Wow.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, I think Bruno was pandering a little bit to the audience. Like, I would have made a big move, but I could, but it was too early. I wanted to do that. I wanted to shake things up. And so I think that he was trying to let people know. Like, I think it's like a little bit of like Derek when he came out of the house. I felt like was like, you know, hey, I could, you know, I know you guys want to see big moves and you want to see crazy stuff on a live feed. I just couldn't let that happen. And then, you know, it's easier to swallow at the end of the day because it's like, but this is what I needed to do to win the game. And for Bruno, he ended up having like, you know, I didn't want to make the, you know, that kind of move at that point in time. But then ultimately not win. And then ultimately, you know, saving Zach, which I think a lot of people who, if you were rooting for, you know, the women's side of the house, which a lot of people were, I don't think that people love that from the fans' perspective.
Yeah, speaking of big moves, I loved Godfrey's response to Zach's question, which was like, what was your biggest move in the house? And Godfrey goes on to explain, like, you know, you don't have to make big moves. It's not about big moves. It's a social game. And I thought his response to that was so well put. And, you know, unfortunately, it didn't change Zach's mind, but... I really liked his take on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, I equate it to like a lot of players and, well, players, which to me is surprising, but especially fans think that like a wave is the only thing that can like alter the direction of the ship, right? But it's like, if you're sitting there creating tons of little ripples, you can do the exact same thing without anyone noticing the wave. You know what I mean? And to me,
the motion of the ocean, right?
All day.
There you go. All right.
Whoa.
This is from Blake94 Allen. Aren't twists part of the game? If you're popular with Canada and well-liked in the house, then you can position yourself to survive and maybe use twists to your advantage. Big Brother has twists. It shouldn't hurt certain players that they were that they used a part of the game.
Sure. But I, like the way I see it is that ultimately twists, like competitions, there's so much variance in it. And it's very, very difficult to control. Like, you can't control, I'm going to win all the competitions, because they're so random and they're so, you know, it's such by chance that you're going to win or you're going to lose. And it's the same thing with how you're going to get edited, how you're going to be perceived. You know, you're not really in control of that. You can do the best of your ability, but what you can control is your social relationships. So that's what you should be based, you should be judged most on.
Okay. All right, let's do from Hope. Hope says, had Neha stayed, do you think that she would have been a big threat like most fans think that she would have been? And do you think she would have made it to the end? Alex, would Neha have made it to the end?
Boy, I really, really enjoy it. Let me start by saying I really enjoy Neha's take on the game and how astute she is on it. That being said, it was very obvious to me how much of a threat she was. Neha didn't, you know, I think this is something that nobody talks about, but is a move in the game that Godfrey had mastered, which is chill out. Just stop. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just take two steps back, take a deep breath and tell yourself that it's all going to be okay. That's not a move Cindy has in her repertoire. She couldn't do that if she wanted to.
Yeah.
That's not part of her makeup. You know what I mean?
The entire final five this season, all five of the people that were left at that point were all people who were just overlooked as threats to win the game. And the house really concentrated on getting out all the people that were the threats, that were the aggressive players. And all five of those people that ended up being left this season were all the people that people weren't worried about. And they ended up all being the last people left at the end of the game.
Well, that's why I think it's so similar to Big Brother 11, because massive twists make a new game. You know, Big Brother 11, you had this, you know, this high school, you know, groupings twist where like the athletes weren't allowed to evict Jeff. That changed everything. And then Jeff got the coup d'etat later. They probably would have evicted Jeff had they been allowed, because Jeff was at odds with his own group. You know what I mean? But it's like, you do something like that, that isn't just a twist, but changes the structure of the rules of the game for that week. And you most likely are going to get a different outcome.
So in a twist heavy season, would you say that Big Brother 16 US was a twist heavy season with the Battle of the Block? And does that make what Derek did more impressive?
I think it's debatable. I think the Battle of the Block made it harder at first because you had to figure out how to navigate it. But once they figured out that the way to navigate it was a big block amoeba alliance, the people within that alliance had a much easier road thanks to the Battle of the Block.
Okay.
So yeah. To me, it was not like the twist was designed to, I'm pretty sure Julie Chen told us it was designed to break up big early alliances. And that's just, again, you know what I mean? And the MVP was designed to prevent floaters, and it empowered floaters. Like, this is just, again, like, we're not, let's go back to square one with these twists. What are we really trying to accomplish?
Okay, keep that in mind when you're submitting your ideas for our Big Brother think tank. I want to hear from you, Alex. Or put your money where your mouth is.
I'm scribbling like crazy over here.
Okay, robiswebsite.com/BBthinkTank. We'll have that in the next couple of weeks. All right. Raisa wants to say, do you think not going over the rules is fair because Ashley was closer in the tiebreaker, but she went over? Yes, did they need to reestablish, Taryn, that it was Price is Right rules?
I mean, those have always been the rules. They've been the rules all season. And maybe they did say the rules, you know, maybe that was cut. You know, I don't think they needed to restate them. I think she knew.
Yeah. Feels like that was probably one of the easier questions they could have asked in that spot of like, how many hours was it? Like if it was minutes, like, I feel like that's really a little bit, you really just have to figure out how many days was Cindy in the house. I mean, these people have been studying like, okay, this person came back into the house this day. This person came back and this person left the house this day. They've been studying this nonstop. You think they'd be able to do like subtraction of, okay, she left that day. She came in this day times 24. That would give you the answer.
Yeah, I thought Godfrey was right on. He was right about where I was going to guess, because I knew it was somewhere around 11 to 12 days. So, yeah, I thought that was definitely, because usually it's a crapshoot. You know, you just write down a guess.
Yeah, it's like how many ounces of water were, you know, used in the moat when we did this challenge? I have no idea. Okay.
I mean, if we're buying the narrative that Godfrey, and, you know, I'm not suggesting that we all are, but if we're buying the narrative that Godfrey was throwing every comp up until the end, I mean, he's certainly impressed in the last two that he played in, right?
He really did well in that.
Put them both.
Yeah, he really did do well. So that's a good question to ask Godfrey. I was surprised that one of the things that I wanted to talk about was that final three HOH challenge that they did, where traditionally in Big Brother, it's always been like, all right, Kevin said that when I was in the house, the greatest thing that happened to me was like, was it A, like being in the bathroom when everybody, when I heard everybody talking about me, or B, finding a showmance in Peely. And I know that with the John and Netta thing, they got away from that a little bit, but they went totally away from that to just a strict A or B. Taryn, did you like that format better?
You know, I still can't decide because what did the juror say? That's really, you know, really a crapshoot because even if you know the person, they usually try to pick very misleading statements. So it's like, you know, finish the statement and it's going to be something you won't expect. So it's usually pretty random. So, you know, I like that there's some skill involved, but I also like, it's a classic, you know, and it at least has the theory that the better you know these people, the better you're going to do in the comp.
Yeah. Especially when the contest was called, how well do you know the jury? And then it was just like,
I was convinced they had gone back to the format. And then they started asking, you know.
Yeah, it's like, what day was Cindy evicted on? Okay, well, I guess that's not really how well you know her. It's just like, how well do you remember stuff that happened in the house?
Yeah, how well you remember her leaving.
The defining quality of Cindy, I guess.
Yes.
According to the question.
Yes.
I never remember her coming, but I always remember watching her go.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yo Dog wants to know, how do you think the vote would have went if the final two was Godfrey versus Ashley? After seeing the jury live, I think Godfrey would have won. That's the interesting question that we need to know from the jury.
I think it basically comes down to Sarah, Brittany, Cindy, and Willow. Where do those votes go? I think they go in a block, and it wherever those votes go is who wins the game. So we got to ask them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm inclined to say Ashley wins, but yeah, exit interviews are going to unravel this mystery for us.
Steven Fishback says exit interviews are not canon, though.
Yeah, but you know, how else am I going to get context here, Rob? I need it from somewhere, and no one else is providing.
Need it from somewhere. Okay. This is from Kid Phoenix 96. Do you think that BB Camp will be canceled? Will it be BB canceled, Taryn?
There's been rumors. I don't know if they're, good founded rumors, but I definitely saw some rumors that it was in danger of being canceled, and Peter and Gary might be, you know, cut from the sideshow. I don't know. I saw something about that.
Yeah, interesting. And so I will feel like last season, did they announce the renewal for Big Brother Canada in the finale? Am I getting my Big Brothers mixed up?
I think they definitely did that in the Big Brother US one. I don't know if they did it in the Canada one.
I can't remember about Canada.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard those rumors.
Yeah.
I think they had announced that it was going to global pretty soon, either pretty soon after the season finished or right before it finished.
You know, I mean, it does kind of lend more credence to kind of people were wondering all season, like, why is everything so, so sponsored? Everything is super sponsored. And if this show was really hurting for financial purposes, I mean, that could lend some, you know, that could be why.
Mm. Yeah, I think I've seen it. It hasn't been getting great ratings. But I haven't looked into it too much.
Really?
I really hope that's not the case because, you know, like, you know, I'm sure most people will agree who are diehard fans, you know, even a subpar season of Big Brother is better than most anything else on TV for me. So.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll have to see about that. Yes. Yes, Scott, tell me that if you've been hearing anything about Big Brother Canada, bad ratings for Big Brother Canada 3. All right, A Mile Away wants to know, do you think that due to the harsh criticism of this year's twist that Big Brother Canada will reduce the amount of twists next season, or will they continue adding more twists?
I hope they get
Could they add twists. More twists? Is that possible?
There's no way. Like, I'm Zach right now. If they add more twists, I'll eat my shorts. Like,
wow.
I mean, yeah, like I said, I'm fine. You know, add all the twists you want, just minimize the degree of influence. You know what I mean? Like, let's let the people who sign their lives away to play the game and not have Canada introduce elements that are like unnavigable, that like present zero wiggle room. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have an idea for a twist. I'm going to save for the think tank.
I think
they need to go the route of Big Brother 10 and just say, all right, you know, we heard the fans. We're just going to do a, you know, back to basics season.
Back to basics.
I mean, Big Brother 10 is one of the most beloved seasons, and exactly. The twist is back to basics. I mean, I think, you know, they need to do a little bit of critical analysis here.
What I go back with these twists, I feel like that sometimes a twist could get people to tune into and check out the show. Like, I feel like if you hear about a twist, that it's like, okay, I'll check that out. But in terms of like the season structure, like, oh, this season is going to be brains versus beauty versus brawn. Like, oh, okay, I would want to see the game play out like that. But yep. Where it's like, okay, the twist is going to be, you know, there's going to be an extra veto in the house. It's like, there's nobody who's not watching Big Brother who's going to watch Big Brother because of like, oh, there's another veto in the house or something like that. And maybe it keeps it exciting and keeps people from tuning out. But like, I think that there is like no real correlation that twists make people watch the show more.
I agree. I think it's a short-term solution. And I think the longevity of shows like Big Brother and Survivor are based on the long-term, you know, big fans that have followed it throughout the seasons. And they followed it because there's so much mythology with the great players and, you know, the really dramatic things that happened. And when you kind of go after those fans, or when you cut those fans and say, you know, we're only looking for the numbers in the short term, I think you're hurting yourself in the long term.
Yeah. Boy, would either of you guys rather be talking to me or at Sarah's post-celebration party right now?
Talking to you, Rob.
Yeah.
I'd rather be at Sarah's party, man.
I'm sure that's a lot of fun, but, you know, Rob has a podcast. This is a dream for me.
Yes, yes. Okay. I think I'd be at the party. Blake 94 Allen says, what do you think about Bruno using his
offended.
Yes. Well, look, that's one hell of a party. I'd rather if it was Ashley's party, I'd rather be here.
I hope her life partner's waiting there with a nice big surprise for her.
Yes. Blake 94 Allen said, what do you think about Bruno using his question as a game move to help Godfrey by getting Brittany or Willow to feel betrayed by Sarah? Is that what Bruno was doing?
Yeah, probably. I mean, and other people are doing it for Sarah too. I don't like when jurors, you know, I want the jurors to actually ask questions that will, you know, get the final two members to open up about their gameplay and actually be open to changing their minds. I don't like when it's clearly, you know, a question lobbied at someone to either hurt their game or hurt their, you know, bolster the other person's.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like whatever agenda you had in the house didn't work because you're sitting in jury. So like maybe it's time to remove the agenda and try to see everything from a, like an impartial perspective. That's ideal. I agree.
Tell me if you think that this is tinfoil hat territory. Did Bruno come into the jury with this agenda from the get-go? And that was the reason why he told Willow what he did when he made Willow cry when he first got to jury, Taryn.
I mean, I really don't think he was trying to do
anything. Was he trying to submarine Sarah's game from the time he got to the jury?
There might have been, you know, the thought in his mind, like maybe if I present this really harshly at first and then only explain it afterward, you know, she might feel some resentment. But I don't think he was trying too much with that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Not guilty for Uncle Bruno?
Not guilty.
And then also, you know, those packages are really edited together. Exactly. So it's like, and then, you know, we don't know how they asked, you know, they kind of like posed it to him right when he walked in the door. So he's taken by, so, you know. I give him a pass, I guess.
Thumbs up or thumbs down for Sarah's hustle tonight when she found out she was not going to be in the top three and when she went to Ashley and said, I won't vote for you if you don't take me to the final three.
I never agree with that move. I've never seen that move work because people don't like being threatened and people think that's nobody's going to think, you know, oh, you're not going to vote for me. Okay. I guess I'm going to give in to your demand and take you. Like, if they're already not going to take you, they're not going to take you for that reason. You know, it never works. It just makes people feel bitter toward you.
Yeah.
Poison the well.
This is why we don't negotiate with terrorists. You can't give in to these demands. All right. Last question of the night. This is from Alyssa R. It says, one big flaw in Godfrey's game was that he contradicted himself. Can't say that BB is a social game and advocate that you played it alone. Is that fair to say? Is that the fundamental flaw in the Godfrey game?
I don't think so. I mean, I think Dr. Will played most of season two alone. You know, he just manipulated everyone around him to, you know, get him to where he was. I don't think you have to play the game with other people. You just have to get people to like you enough and get people to take you far enough to the end. And Godfrey at least did one of those things.
Yeah, I think that you can play the game alone, but at the end of the day, you gotta keep that one handy.
He's the survivor.
You need to have the jury like you more than the other person. And unfortunately for Godfrey, the jury, you know, if Godfrey was up against somebody that they didn't like, they could have seen the light on Godfrey's game. But people love Sarah in that house. And ultimately, Godfrey comes up short.
Yep.
And credit to Sarah for being likable and lovable and making connections for her. I think to know Sarah is to love her, especially when you're so bored in that house. It's a long 68 days or however long you're in there. And the only people that really did not love her were Bruno and Bobby.
Absolutely. And she presented herself very well. She always spoke intelligently in the house. She was always involved in intellectual conversations, you know, showing off that she's a smart person. And that definitely helped her when it came to being portrayed as a mastermind.
Okay. And I think one of the things we all love about Big Brother and Survivor and these kind of games is, you know, these ideas that like this game can't win until it does. You know what I mean? It's great. I mean, that's beautiful. It's an organic thing that evolves. That's we love it for that.
Okay. Scott St. Pierre, our man on the ground in Canada, he is saying that he has not heard anything about ratings trouble for Big Brother Canada.
Oh, that's good. Could be unsubstantiated. I just saw it on Twitter. So, you know, Twitter is what it is.
Okay.
A wild west of rumors.
You never know.
All right. So there you have it. That's our Big Brother Canada season. Hopefully we'll get some exit interviews coming up. I'm going to just confirm what's going on there. And if not, then maybe we'll get some coverage, some special coverage between now and then. Of course, if you are interested in more international Big Brother coverage, Kurt Clark hosts our recap of Big Brother UK. Kurt has been texting me all night about, if you think that some of the Big Brother Canada twists are crazy, wait till you hear what they're doing on Big Brother UK. It's unprecedented. Kurt's all worked up. Check out Kurt on the Big Brother Canada UK, which is a totally different show. Big Brother UK, that's on Reality TV Rehap Ups, which you can get at robiswebsite.com/rehapups. That's RHAPUPS. All right. So we told you about the think tank. All right, that's coming up. Get your ideas in. Rob's website.com/BB think tank. We got the live feeds. We got Big Brother Bingo coming up. All that stuff is happening. We're going to do our special podcast between now and then. The Big Brother US cast is probably only about 3 weeks away from being dropped on us. So a lot to do. There's really no off season in Big Brother until we get to October.
I love it. Yeah. Bring it on. Bring it on, Rob.
Look, this is a stretch run. This is like the NBA season. We start in March and then just go on and on and on.
Yeah, no, it's like baseball. I'm done my spring training. I'm running into form right now, maybe.
Boom. Okay. All right. Oh, the other thing that I want to let the viewers know is that we've had a total of 7 different people talk with us on the Big Brother Canada live feeds this season. I want to do some exit polling from you guys. Again, this is not like a Survivor Second Chance or anything like that, but I would like to just get a report card on the people that we've been talking to over the course of the season. We've had a bunch of different people doing great work of going over the live feeds, but I just would love to hear from you guys, the audience. Who were you vibing with? Who were you not vibing with? Who had a good social game? Who was likable for you and who wasn't? And that'll help inform my decisions as far as what we do in Big Brother US. So go to robiswebsite.com/BBCanPoll. That's robiswebsite.com/BBCanPoll. And there's a way for you to rate what you thought of the people that were on the live feeds. And again, it's not a vote. It's not like Survivor where we're going to say, okay, then the top three are going to move on. So you don't need to campaign or anything like that. Just give me your honest assessments. And honestly, if you don't remember a person's name, there's an option to say, don't remember or no opinion. So robswebsite.com/BBCanPoll. All right. And these two guys, great job on the finale. Alex, thank you so much. You can follow Alex on Twitter. He's at Alex Kidwell.
Thank you, Rob. This has just been such a great experience. I've really enjoyed talking with you this season. And, on behalf of all the other live feed correspondents who aren't here tonight, I know they feel the same way. And big shout out to Rob Has a Planet for putting up with us through all the growing pains and everything. It's been just a dream come true.
Did you guys all chip in to get me something at the end of the season?
That would have been like, if I had a winner's edit, I would have done that. That would have been the-
all right thank you. And Taryn, great job as well. Thank you for so it is a pleasure to meet you as well throughout this process. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn.
Thank you. I never would have thought I would be here, when you said submit a video, and I was like, I think I can replicate those Big Brother Canada interviews.
Way back when, those interviews in a hotel room, God knows where.
And never did I think that I would be here, recapping the finale with you. So thank you so much for having
me. Here we are. Well, thanks everybody who stayed with us all season long. We've been doing 2 shows a week since the premiere. So very, very fun to talk a Big Brother Canada. And we're going to be heading into our Big Brother Canada off season now. But hopefully more interviews with some of these people along the way as we get ready for Big Brother US. Also, thanks to Scott St. Pierre, who was producing all these live shows that we did along the way for Big Brother Canada. And thanks to you guys. A huge live turnout for the post-finale show. So greatly appreciate all the support from you guys as well. So do we have a hashtag for the finale? Finale hashtag.
Is there anything we can do about the fact that a narcotics detective won last time and a employee won this time? Is there some way we can bridge that gap?
Yes. Derek busts Sarah.
I love it.
Hey, that's the ultimate Survivor fan fiction. Yes. The ultimate game of Survivor cops and robbers.
You can't make that up, can you? I mean, how great is that story?
Yeah, it's really, real good bookends, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, so there you go. That's the hashtag. Thanks so much, everybody. Have a great night. Take care, everybody.